Jane Connery, that is you.
Yes.
Now, you have a wonderful guest on today talking all things Codebreakers, so please take it away.
Fantastic. Well, this is Broad Designs on Sunday Arts Magazine, where I talk to women who design and make sure we hear their voices loud and proud. And today my guest is Brooke Maggs, a creative woman who wears many hats, but most of them are part of the digital gaming industry. She's been named in the top 100 most influential women in the Australian and New Zealand gaming industries, and writes, designs narratives and produces games including The Gardens Between and Earthlight, a space-aged virtual reality experience. She's also an academic who's presented at Oxford, thanks very much. But if that isn't enough, she's also has work currently on display at ACME. Brooke, welcome to Broad Designs.
Thank you very much for having me, Jane.
It's great to have you. Now, I love an overachiever. I find your CV very inspiring, but I'm really interested to hear what inspired you to embark on this career in gaming.
Well, games have been a big part of growing up. I used to tell stories to my little sister using Mario Paint with Mouse, which will take you right back to the 90s. And I used to create little sprites as different characters, and then she would sit next to me and I would tell her a story on screen. So that's sort of where it started. That's my earliest memory. It was on Super Nintendo.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so you had, you got a mouse and a mouse board to play on the screen with. It was, really, really fun. After that, many of my, gaming experiences was with my sister, but also a lot of my narrative experiences were with games.
Yep.
So not only was I reading a lot of books, I was playing a lot of narrative-driven games and sinking hours into them.
And people do.
Yeah, just loved them. They captured my imagination. And for a long time, I've wanted to write for games, and I remember going to one of the games expos, and one of the writers from one of my favourite games, Bioshock, was there. And I, went up to him after the panel and I said, "How do I write for games?" And he said, "Be a writer."
And I was like, is that the answer you were looking
okay,
for?
Okay, well, not really,
no.
but I know what he mean. He sort of meant, learn the craft of writing, understand it doesn't sort of matter what medium you start out in, because a lot of those storytelling, tools translate. But the best thing about games is that the reader is a player. They're actually doing something. So you have to think about what they're doing and how that ties into the narrative. And that's not something I do writing my book or something like that. Exactly. So that's why games are unique and what draws me to them.
And you would have been coding quite early on, though, too?
Not until university. Okay. I mean, I was fortunate that the degree I did was quite diverse in it taught design, it taught programming and engineering, computer science. So I did a bit of coding, but it was definitely not a strong suit of mine. But I've definitely benefited from doing that because I understand very loosely what it does, but in no way would I say I'm a programmer.
There's the key, isn't it? Having that understanding is enough.
Yeah. Or at least, kind of understanding how programming works to a limited extent to appreciate what other members in your development team do and what challenges you pose to them by writing something, completely off the wall or something like that. At the end of the day, it has to be functional.
How would you describe what you do to the uninitiated?
Well, I haven't met two game writers who do exactly the same thing. So, what I say I do could be some completely different. So I imagined it would be writing scripts and writing branching dialogue and choice-based narrative. But my first game experience with The Gardens Between is with a game with no text or speech.
Right.
So I'm not actually writing a script. But what I did do was write character biographies, write small short stories to help characterise them, and develop the creative direction early on, but then also to convey to the rest of the team, like the animator, what their personalities are like so that he can, animate them to show that personality. So Arena is, strong and bold and brash, and so he will, use those words to inform his work.
And a bit of a backstory on each character too.
Exactly, yes, yeah. And then narrative design is different, and actually learning that label unlocked a few things for me, because I wasn't actually doing a lot of writing. I was doing a lot of designing of narrative. And what that means is talking to the others about how gameplay reinforces the metaphors and themes, and how gameplay, the art direction, how all that ties in to the story. Mm. And we used a relatively popular plot line to help us chart the emotional journey of the story and to inform the, you know, the art direction and things like that. So you are designing now, and everyone in our team, because of the way The Gardens Between is designing narrative in a way, if that makes sense.
It does, and it's a very collaborative job. You're
very
not sort
collaborative.
Of sitting alone,
yeah, just... exactly. but also mainly too, the narrative designer has to advocate for the story, so they have to be able to convey to the rest of the team in words that aren't necessarily narrative related.
Sounds so much like film production, doesn't it? You've got to keep the continuity right.
Definitely. And that's part of the narrative designer's job too, keeping the continuity, keeping the story world and making sure that's holding true.
Yeah. And you recently won the 2017 MCV Pacific Xbox Women in Games Creative Impact Award.
It's a
mouthful. Could they make it any longer? what does it mean to you winning something like that?
It was an absolute honour and somewhat unexpected, I have to say. Having been in the industry for about 3 years by that point, you know, I'm by no means a veteran.
I was going to say, 3 years?
I know. And so, you know, the awards are judged by 10 industry members. So to have your colleagues, you know, acknowledge the work that you've done is just tremendous. But also... to be honest, every woman in the games industry deserves an award, I think. and same with the amazing teams that I work with. Mm. You know, it's not easy to make a creative impact, you know, without the rest of the team with you. But also important for my career in games as a woman, I think having an award behind me can potentially open doors and help me stay in the industry, if that makes sense. So I think that's really important, what I would love to do. So
yeah. And it's just great to celebrate the good work you're doing. Really good. So the tech industry is constantly being critiqued as having a lack of diversity amongst its ranks. And you talk about your first-hand experience with this in an article titled "More Women Are Becoming Game Developers, But There's a Long Way to Go." Now, I want to read a bit. The opening paragraph, it's got a few stats. Recent data from the ABS shows a rise in the number of women working in Aussie games. 2011 to 12, only 8.7% of game developers were women, and that amount almost doubles to 15% in 2015 to 16. Still, to put this in perspective, the ABS recorded just 734 people working in the industry as of June last year. Mm. You are one of them, and while the figures are encouraging, I'd argue many challenges still remain when 47% of video game players in Australia are female. Mm. We must consider why so few are employed to make them. So tell us about these challenges you see for women in gaming.
There's a few, and it's not sort of just, you know, one thing. There are many different issues. So, for example, gender stereotypes around STEM subjects, which is science, engineering, mathematics, and other forms of technology. Where girls are less likely to study them early on because they're perceived to be within the realm of men. Mm-hmm. Because there are fewer women pursuing those careers, there's fewer women to sort of look up to or to see a career trajectory, you know, and to see sort of that end game, which helps, you know. You look up to someone, you're like, wow, you know, I want to be like her when I grow up. Stereotypes that exist around games and what they are as cultural artifacts, I think, is really interesting, and why... I encourage everyone to go to Codebreakers, because the games are so totally different to what you might expect games to be. So a lot of people think they're violent and shooting, and I think if you haven't had that experience playing them growing up like? I have, they also seem to be within the realm of men and boys. Then we don't necessarily think about games the same way we think about other art forms. So people don't necessarily go, on the weekend I'm going to make a game, yes, you know, as opposed to write a book or paint a painting or things like that. So it, they also seem to be a bit out of reach. And then recruiting women is intensely difficult because if we only look to the people we know already, and then also keeping them in the industry is tricky.
I think there's a lot more to talk about, especially your Acme code breakers. We're just going to have a little break and we'll continue in a few minutes.
Okay.
And we're on Broad Designs on Sunday Arts Magazine on Joy 94.9. Now, Brooke, we were talking about Acme and the Code Breakers exhibition before our little break then. It's a fantastic show on at the Australian Centre for the Moving Image until, I can't see the date, but soon. It's not
early November.
Early November. A few more weeks left. Mm. I took my 10-year-old and 13-year-old last weekend and it was fabulous. Yes. And the room was full of toddlers to grandparents, all engaged playing these games. It's all very interactive. There's lovely big pictures of all the females who've created the work and explanations of their roles and quotes of what they have to say about what they're doing. So it gives this lovely visibility to women. But you mentioned this whole idea of violence in games. And I was sitting down in the other bit of Acme trying to find my kids, actually. And I said to my husband, I'm going to go back and just check how many guns I can see on those screens. And I don't think I could find any.
No, I don't think you would.
And
no.
I found Indigenous characters and I found a lot of female characters, probably more than boys. There was all sorts of diversity, gender, race, age, and that's certainly not what we expect when we go to, you know, the game store to buy a game. How do you feel about that as the challenges?
It's awesome. It's so great that, first of all, people can walk in and play games that are being made right here in Australia. Mm. Second of all, they can walk in and play games being made by women who have a variety of different jobs as well, which, you know, ties into what I was talking about before. There are women there like Rebecca who are programmers and have worked on the games that are being shown there. But there's also Lisi, who's a producer. So that's, I guess, the game's equivalent of a project manager. Then there's Siobhan and Nailu, who are directors of their own companies, and narrative designers and designers. So it really shows a broad range of the jobs that you can have and the ways you can contribute to games, but also different types of games. So there's strategy games. There is Objects in Space, which is this amazing console control panel. And then there's The Gardens Between, of course, which is an adventure puzzle game. So, yeah, there's a variety of things to check out.
It's definitely worth the trip with so much else going on in Melbourne at the moment to play. Yeah, my daughter was the expert ninja pizza delivery girl by the end of all of it. It was very cool. And you've mentioned some of the other women featured.
Yes.
It was curated by a group of women as well.
Yes, it was.
How did they find everyone? This is because I work with women in design and people are coming to me constantly going, where do I find women? Do people say that to you?
So I know that a curatorial board was put together to help inform. Helen Stuckey at RMIT is one of them. She is a games academic. Lena Vandeventer, who is a games academic and writer as well.
Very vocal on Twitter. Her feed is hilarious.
She's really funny. She's very quick. Then it was also put together by Serena at Acme. So she did a lot of, you know, research into different types of games and purposefully found different types of games, different types of women, and also really considered the space in which to play and observe the games, making it easier to watch others play, but also making it not like a, you know, dark basement,
arcade,
you know, video gamey.
It's amazing how welcoming
cliche
the space is when you walk into Acme. It draws you right in. It's great. One last question. So if you became stuck in a computer game, who would you rather be within there? Lara Croft?
Yes.
Princess Peach from the Mario Brothers or Miss Pac-Man? And why?
Okay, well, I said Lara Croft because I have this secret desire to be wildly adventurous and hang off rock faces and uncover, you know, tombs and things like that. I think she would be good to have by my side while I'm doing
to teach you.
Yeah, basically. Because I think one of that character indicates the kind of game, and that would be a lot of fun, I think. Plus, I'm a long-time Lara Croft Tomb Raider player, so.
Yeah, I wouldn't be there with you. I'd be Miss Pac-Man.
You'd be Miss Pac-Man?
All pixelated, eating as much food as I could find.
I didn't think about that. You could get all the food you eat.
Look, thank you so much for your time this afternoon, Brooke. You're smart, creative, tech-savvy and entrepreneurial, quite the renaissance woman. And thank you for taking the time out of your weekend to hang out today. It's been a real pleasure.
No worries. Thank you very much.
And thank you, David and Brendan, for sharing your fabulous show with me. I'm Jane Connery and you're listening to Broad Designs on the Sunday Arts Magazine on Joy 94.9.